Jen Runkle. I am an environmental epidemiologist at the North Carolina Institute for Climate Studies. My research really seeks to understand and measure the ways in which climate and weather impact our health. So many of the research projects are focused on looking at those risk factors at the personal or community level and pulling out factors that we could actually intervene upon or modify to create more effective interventions to safeguard the health of.
How does that differ from, say, like a public health epidemiologist? Or are you the same thing?
We are the exact same. I'm exactly the same as a public health epidemiologist. It's just my focus area isn't necessarily on chronic disease or HIV or cancer. We're focused on looking at how humans' interaction with their environment impacts their health.
Can you give me an example of something you might look into?
Sure. Well, Maggie and I have been looking at the ways in which temperature exposure influence our mental health, and what are those sensitivities in anxiety, depression, or even suicide that are influenced by temperature extremes.
So a temperature extreme might be some of the really hot days we're having or really cold.
We've looked at both sides. We've looked at warmer than average temperatures as well as those cold temperatures, and we've seen effects kind of on both sides. Yeah, it's an emerging area of research. And so there are a handful of us that are actually looking into this phenomenon. But there's some really important mechanisms happening kind of under the skin that would influence our susceptibility to temperature. And we've noticed, you know, I think we started looking at how individuals who are taking medication for chronic health conditions or even the elderly, they're more susceptible to these warmer than average temperatures.
So my name is Maggie Stugg. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Geography and Planning at Appalachian State University. I'm a medical geographer, which is something that you often don't hear about. But what I really do is I look at, you know, spatial temporal patterns of diseases and look at how these patterns are related to other factors like environmental, socioeconomic, or climatic factors. And I work really closely with Jen, who's an epidemiologist. I have a background in climatology, too. So I really like to look at this intersection of climate and health. I use a lot of mapping and spatial techniques to look at this intersection. My research has closely tied with Jen's. I've done some work with heat-related illness in North Carolina, looking at heat illness across the state. Me and Jen are working on mental health illness, so looking at mental health and how it's affected by temperature. And then I've also looked at a lot of natural hazards. So I've done some work with the wildfire events in 2016. I've done some work with tropical cyclones and some of the flooding impacts here in Western North Carolina. So I look at a large swath of climatic stressors and how they impact society and public health.
So I want to touch base on the heat and mental health research that you're doing with Jen. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've had two studies here in North Carolina looking at heat. The one with Jen, we've just started looking at mental health. We've looked at both suicide, so the more severe outcome for mental health, and then some of the underlying factors like depression and anxiety. What's interesting from North Carolina is we have some really high rates of suicide, and what's concerning is we have a lot of high suicide rates for adolescents. And so this is why Jen really and I were interested in this topic, because it's so relevant to our area. We've done some work nationally. We've found a temperature relationship with crisis events. So crisis events are events in which someone has a crisis and they seek a crisis counselor. So we've looked at that, and we've noted a strong relationship with temperature. And it's really interesting, this phenomenon with temperature, it's been noted worldwide. So there's been studies of it in China, Australia, Europe. And it's an interesting phenomenon. You'd think suicide and mental health would spike in the winter season because, you know, it's cold, it's cloudy, it's kind of depressing. But we actually see more of this type of health outcome in the summertime. And so Jen and I are launching that study here for North Carolina, trying to look at the relationship, see if there is a temperature relationship, if there is an increase in mental health outcomes after heat waves. And then the second type of heat study I've done is looking at heat-related illness. Again, I don't know if do you want me to get into this, Helen?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. The heat-related illness, I've looked at across the state, looking at ED visits, emergency department visits for heat exhaustion, heat syncope. And we found, you know, what's really interesting about North Carolina is that at those really, really high temperatures, people seem to not experience heat illness. And we think it's because they're adapting. So they're staying indoors. They aren't exposing themselves to the heat. But here in the mountains, we do see more heat illness at lower temperatures. And so those are two projects that me and Jen, we work really closely together looking at this intersection of.
Yeah, go ahead. And I'll say one thing. Our work in mental health really started in 2016 when a national nonprofit crisis text line did an open data call and allowed researchers to apply to gain access to this national data set on crisis texting and youth. And Maggie and I wanted to look at ways in which the environment, and more specifically climate and weather, were influencing some of these trends we were seeing at a national and state level. And so initially, our first look was, what were we seeing across states? And we found a really strong rural-urban gradient our first look, we observed that there were higher texting patterns in urban areas and that there was this gap in use among rural areas, kind of contributing to vulnerability in rural America around mental health. And then we decided, just as Maggie noted, to take it a step further in looking at temperature sensitivities for four cities in the U.S., Atlanta, Chicago, California, and New York.
Does climate change, the changing climate, play into why you wanted to ask that question, or is that just something that is interesting regardless?
I can comment, and then Jen will have more to say, but heat, you know, it's the most direct relationship with climate change and climate. We have increasing temperatures, and heat is a direct health impact. So it's an easier relationship on our end to study. It's easier for us to quantify the exposure-response relationship. Some of these other indirect health impacts from climate change, like vector-borne diseases, which would be Lyme disease, or tropical cyclones or hurricanes, those are harder for us to study as researchers. So heat is a great first step when you're looking at the climate-health relationship.
Especially since we've observed significant warming nationally over the past 100 years, and projection models show that we should anticipate, you know, historically unprecedented warming as a state and as a nation. And so the fact that, you know, in many ways, studying heat and heat-related changes in health, not only heat-related illness, but cardiorespiratory illness, mental health, and beyond, it's a really low-hanging fruit in which the public health community has already begun working in this area, and we can begin to kind of branch out from extreme heat to looking at drought and flooding events. So it's a really nice baseline that we've all kind of established a consensus around, that heat and its change in this climate is causing significant, it's a significant public health threat.